Hi, welcome to the Bible Studies Show. My name is Dr. Cheryl Lorraine Dockery. I'm also known as Miss D, Sister C, Sister Cheryl, Minister Dockery, Pastor Dockery, Bishop Dockery, and Dr. Dockery. And, of course, Cheryl. That's the name I prefer to be addressed as, Cheryl. I have been ordained by three different Christian denominations. I am now a non-denominational minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a church charter, the Church of Love, Peace, Hope, and Faith. I do not hold church as regular churches. I'm not a nonprofit corporation. I came from a family of ministers on both my mother and father's side. I provide pastoral counseling and Bible studies services. The Lord has given me an assignment to prepare everyone for the court of divine judgment through repentance and covering your sins, not covering up your sins. That's two different things. And in order for you, and it's both called covering sins in the Bible, in order for you to know which one they're talking about, you'll have to read the story. But I'll give you a basic understanding. Covering your sins means that you have repented your sins and you're doing the best that you can to fix whatever damages you made, including restitution. Covering up your sins means you're hiding them. You don't want anyone to know you did them, other than those you probably associated with. But you're hiding them. You're not trying to fix a thing, and you have not repented anything. You have not asked anyone for forgiveness. You haven't done a thing. You're covering up your sins when you do that. My job is to teach you how to cover your sins according to God's laws. Now, I want you to pay close attention right now, because it's important for you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. I want you to turn to Proverbs 28:9. If you don't have it, I will be giving this to you again in the foundation scripture that you will have to be looking up. I will be documenting what I'm talking about. What Proverbs 28:9 says is, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Don't mess around and cancel out your prayers. Pay close attention. Keep your ears open. God's laws are buried in that Bible all over the place. And we have to extract them out in order to understand God's laws. There are over 1,000 commandments, precepts, and ordinances that are of sound doctrine today. And that's what I will be dealing with in teaching laws, sound doctrine today. The precepts are lined up beneath the Ten Commandments in such a way that if you break one commandment, you have broken them all. As I go along in this series, I will explain this to you. But in the meantime, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. And basically what this says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Basically, what the Lord is leading me to tell you about this is that how these precepts are lined up is how you end up breaking all commandments if you break one. And I will get further into that a little bit later. But I have some messages and thoughts that I need to bring to you. But I want you to keep this in mind, a lot of things in mind. And I'm going to start off with this. Man-made laws and God's laws are interrelated and interconnected. But man-made laws have a tendency to seduce, trick, deceive you, whatever you want to call it, in breaking God's laws, and without you even thinking. Simply because when you're breaking man-made laws, the number one thing that you're concentrating on, or should be if you're going to break the law, is not getting caught. Now, under God's laws, you are in sin from the thought, not being caught from the thought. And a lot of people don't realize that the 10th commandment covers all thoughts and emotions. And from that commandment, you break all the others. And once I get into teaching commandments, you'll understand better. But what I would like to do now is give you some messages and thoughts. Now, some of these messages may be to someone specifically, but I have no idea who it is. I'm just being led to give you this information. Now, there are a number of them. Let me see. I think we got about 9, 10, or 11 of them here. Okay, number one, the only war, or the main war we are fighting, is between good and evil. That means you're going to always have to have your armor on, morning, noon, and night, because you're in a fight with Satan, the devil. Evil spirit. Number two, God is a holy and clean spirit, as well as his holy angels. Jesus is a holy, clean spirit. Now, the devil, Satan, and all those other names that they're called, demons, minions, imps, including sprites, which are animals, dogs, and cats. I'll get into that a little bit later on, because they can be under the influence of unclean spirits as well. They are unclean spirits. Anyone associated with the devil or Satan are unclean. Okay? Now, you and I are also spirits. We have two bodies. Flesh body spirit body. We can be influenced by both holy and unclean spirits. Holy and unclean spirits work basically the same way, through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. For me to kind of explain that is, pay attention to your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. When you see you have a thought, analyze it. Is it a holy thought or an evil thought? Analyze all of your thoughts. If it comes out to be evil and you are feeling it in your heart, then it probably came from an unholy spirit. God knows your thoughts and what is in your heart. You must repent from the heart for you to receive your grace. God keeps records of all of your goods and your bads. Satan only keeps records of your bad because he uses that as the temptations to keep you doing the same thing over and over, adding up sins. Satan doesn't know your thoughts. He listens for your words and things that you do. This will determine what type of evil thoughts he will send to you because he realizes that you will go for it. And if you go for it, that means you didn't have your armor on. Satan knows, and most of us don't know, that God will not allow Satan to have in his records or books things that you have repented and have erased out of his books. This is when Satan knows that you have started repenting your sins and cleaning them up because they disappear from his books. He don't like that. And whatever unclean spirit was assigned to you is probably in trouble. And then he's going to send somebody else. Unless you are a heavy hitter, he's not going to send any major unclean spirits. He's going to send the little messengers that he have, the same pretty much level as our guardian angel or the clean spirit that's trying to protect us. And we won't listen to that one. We listen to, because it's just like they're both coming through both of our the ears, and somehow we fall easy for Satan's stuff. But as soon as Satan find out that you are repenting your sins, and not only will he attack you, he will attack anyone in your family, all of your friends. So the best thing for you to do is let your family and friends know that you are repenting your sins, and that is one of the ways that Satan tries to break you down, is through your loved ones and your friends. And so they're going to have to be on guard because they will be attacked. Satan knows that Bible, okay? And he knows that God has given each of us various talents and gifts. And what he wants, Satan, is for you to use those talents and gifts working for him. God gave you free will. And you give your talents and gifts away. God never takes anything away from you that he has given you. You give it away. And 99.99% of the time it's to Satan. And because he doesn't want you to know what your talents and strengths are. What your talents and gifts and strengths are may not be what you want. You're so busy looking at Mr. and Mrs. Jones, the Joneses, and everybody else and what they got, and you wishing that you have what they have, and you totally neglect what your talents and strengths are. And you're going to have to stop doing that. Like I said, Satan knows that Bible, and he knows how to give you thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that sounds biblically, but if you pay attention, you know that some of the words have been twisted. You got to pay close attention to the thoughts and ideas and suggestions that you're getting. Now, another message that the Lord wanted me to give you is stop blaming him, God, for things that he had nothing to do with. He's the God of life. Satan and all those evil spirits are the lords and gods of death. They're right here in spirit form on earth. God has given you everything you need to protect yourself, your armor. I will be covering that in this part where I talk about putting on your armor and keeping it on and how you know that you've lost your armor. But anyway, stop blaming God for things he had nothing to do with. He has nothing to do with death at all. Now you or someone else around you may have invited unclean spirits around you, and that means death. Sometimes we're even confused when there's things going on in the community and you're trying to determine which of the two individuals was the wrong party. Many incidences, both parties were under the influence of unclean spirits. You know, unclean spirits have no problem at all fighting each other through our flesh bodies and care less if you die in the midst of it. But you can get caught up into something like that. Now, this is another thing that I'm to bring up. See, my teachings are for everyone, especially Christians, because based on the laws that I'm going to be teaching on, Christians are supposed to know better. Especially if you say you're in the body of Christ, you're in the spirit, you're supposed to know better. Now, starting with all denominations, all religions, including Christian religions, they have a number of denominational types there. This is to all of you. Stop telling people that if they don't join your particular denomination, that they're going to go to hell. My message is there's going to be some folks going to heaven and hell from all of those denominations, including the Christian denomination, because there's going to be some people among all of them that are not going to be paying attention to God's laws and will not be practicing them. There's a large number of people know when they're doing wrong, but they do it anyway. Many times, money is involved. And a lot of you get confused when money is involved. Because you fall for it. You know, that's how Satan can influence you better. You may get a thought, idea, suggestion that was a holy thought, idea, suggestion. But then the next thing you know, you're concentrating on money. Concentrating on money is not a holy thought, idea, suggestion. If you do what God told you to do, the money is going to come. You're going to be able to do what you're supposed to be doing as a minister. So, you know, stop telling folks that they're going to go to hell because they didn't join your church and or they don't know about your particular denomination. The only way God knows you love him is through the obedience of his laws. The only way God knows you love your neighbor, as well as the foreigner, the stranger, they have laws all about that in the Bible. The only way God is going to know that you love your neighbor is through the obedience of his laws. And there's no other way around it. Okay, now what I want to do is give you some foundation scripture, because I will be talking about these particular verses, you know, as I go along in this series. I'm going to read the scripture to you and then give you where it is in the Bible. Now, I found out recently that I am able to, through BBS Radio, upload Word documents as well as PDF documents. I haven't played with that as yet, but if anyone wish to receive the lesson plan that has the scriptures written out, just let me know. You can email me at sbfm.tv@comcast.net. I'm getting ready to put an email address for the radio. I'll let you know when. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bible to Proverbs 28:9, in which I've given this one to you before. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be abomination. Don't mess up with your prayers, okay? You think you get ready to pray when you at a time where you really need your prayers to be heard? They may not be heard because your prayers have turned into an abomination because you chose not to listen to the law. And that's what my assignment is about. In order for you to prepare yourself for the court of divine judgment, you have to know what laws you have broken that you can repent. And I suggest you pray on it and ask the Lord to bring back to your remembrance any sins that you committed that needs to be repented, so they won't be on the books when you get to the court of divine judgment. Okay, the next verse. You will find this in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22. Now, this is a law or a precept. The precepts can be found between Exodus and Deuteronomy. The Ten Commandments were first stated in Exodus chapter 20, and then restated in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy is considered by many scholars was intended to be the constitution to all people. Everyone does not believe in the Deuteronomistic code. I'll get into that later on. But anyway, Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22 is a precept between under the Ten Commandments. Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country. I am the Lord your God. Now, when I said that precepts could be under more than one commandment, this precept is under automatically the first three commandments dealing with the Lord. I'll get into that a little bit later on. But it's also under other commandments pertaining to the laws of how you treat your neighbors, your brethren, your family. It's all a part of the laws. Okay, the next one I want to read is not a precept, but it is documentation pertaining to law. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, as I said, I'm going to be teaching you the laws that are of sound doctrine today. Of course, I won't be teaching the laws that were abolished on the Christ, on the cross with Christ. There were many of those, several hundred, I believe, maybe about 300, 250, that died on the cross, which confused a lot of people on what laws that were still on the books. That's a part of my job. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness. I wasn't going to read this one. I was going to read this one the next session, but I'm being led to read this one. Go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is the definition of church. So it only requires me and one other person that's listening for it to be considered a church. A lot of people don't understand that. They think church is the building. Church is the people. And you don't have to have a building. You can be outside. You can be in a tent. Because a lot of tent ministries have been going on. But just remember that two, three, or more who gather together in his name, and that's what we're doing right now, we're in church. Okay. Now, go to Romans chapter 4, verse 7. And this is what it says. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. I wanted you to hear scripture that at least one verse pertaining to covering your sins. There are a number of ways for you to cover your sins. Love and forgiveness will cover all of your sins. But the problem there is we don't understand the love that Jesus brought, unconditional love, agape love. I will talk more about that later on. And then saying forgiving someone, we say it, but we really don't mean it. But love and forgiveness will cover all of your sins. But in the meantime, I'm supposed to encourage you to repent your sins and cover them with what you know you can fix. Now, to the next page of this is all foundation scripture. I will be talking more on all of this in later lectures. Many of you have heard what I'm saying before, especially those of you that are a part of my television audience. This is review for you, so you really should know. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Go to Romans 10:17. Write down the scripture so you can read it for yourself. And as I said, let me know if you want me to upload this so you'll have it in writing for yourself. But if you write down the scripture and mark it in your book, that's another thing I want to say. The Bible that you use for this Bible study session, you're going to need a highlighter, and you're going to be able to write in the book and all kinds of things. If you have a Bible that you do not feel comfortable in writing in because it's too holy for you or whatever, go buy you a Bible that you're able to write in and highlight, because this is for your study and you want to get back to it. So write down the scripture, and then when you go to the Bible yourself, highlight it or write something in it that's in your heart, so you know when you get back to that scripture, you know what you were thinking about. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, as I said, for those of you that are a part of my television audience, you've heard this, but you're supposed to hear it again. It didn't say, so faith cometh by having heard, it says, by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're going to have to hear it more than once. Many of us do. I know I did, for me to get a lot of this. Now, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Basically, what this is saying is once you get into the body of Christ, I have a series on how you get into the body of Christ, but once you're there and you're in the Spirit, you are given the measure of faith, not a measure of faith, the measure of faith. Everyone receives the same measurement initially. You are to develop that faith measurement, and I will talk about how that happens. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, for those of you who do not know, charity means love, agape love. I'll talk more about that when I get into that series part of it. Go to James chapter 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I will cover that more when I talk about prayers, the different types of prayers, and when you're supposed to use that particular prayer. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. But I'm only going to read the part that I need you to hear. I want you to read all the rest. And he have some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. I was told that I'm to teach. That means that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's what I'm doing right now. But what I also have to say is that teachers will be held more accountable than anyone else. So I'm trying to give you this information the best way I know how, so please bear with me. Now, when I accepted this assignment, I didn't accept it right away. One of the things I need to tell you is that if the Lord is trying to give you an assignment and you call yourself ignoring it, it ain't going to work. You'll get haunted with it. And then I had various different arguments on why I'm not the one supposed to have this assignment. That didn't work. Basically, what the Lord told me to do was learn these laws, teach people how to repent and cover their sins, and at the same time, I will be learning how to cover my sins, as well as repenting and getting my grace. I understood then, but one of the main reasons why I didn't want to deal with this, because I knew I was going to have a lot of opposition. And basically, what the Lord did is he told me 3 times in a row what to do about it. Now, I'm getting ready to give you 3 verses. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Mark chapter 6, verse 11. And Luke chapter 9, verse 15. I believe that the Lord was speaking to me specifically when he gave all 3 of those to me at one time, but at the same time, I'm supposed to teach you the same thing, because once you become in the body of Christ, you're in the Spirit, you automatically become a minister. You don't have to be ordained. Everyone that knows the Bible and understand Jesus' teachings, once you get to that level, you automatically become a minister, a disciple, if you want. You haven't learned as much as you wanted in order for you to feel comfortable to talk to people. That's the reason why your ministers have you bring people. Once you are saved and you are in the body, the ministers tell you to bring your friends so they could be taught there, because you're not quite ready at that level, or at least not confident enough. You can teach whatever you know and know where it is in the Bible as soon as you come in the body of Christ. Now, I gave you those 3 verses, and basically those 3 verses say the same thing. When ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Basically, the Lord told me, if you don't want to hear what I have to say, go to the next person. Don't even deal with it. Shake the dust off my feet and keep going. Find somebody that's going to listen. Now, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. You may not be positive that it's evil, but it appears to be evil. You have some shaky feelings about it. Abstain. Disassociate, get yourself away from it, because you are probably around unclean spirits and anything could pop up, you know. Go to Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And basically what this said is God is no respecter of persons. God has his own measurements. He gives us an idea of that he has measurements, and some measurements are given to you, especially when dealing with business and payments and loans and things like that. He has laws. Those laws are covered under the 8th commandment. That's where the business laws precepts. Beneath that 8th commandment. I'll get to that when I get to the commandments. But in the meantime, abstain from all appearance of evil. God is no respecter of persons. And all will be held accountable for self before God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And the age of accountability is the age when you know you've done wrong and you understand that there are penalties for it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the death penalties, because I'm going to concentrate on those because these are precepts that are beneath, or at least the majority of them are, beneath the Ten Commandments. In fact, all of these are. These are all precepts. And I have about 9 or 10 of them, I suppose. Have your pencils and paper handy, because I'm going to say this fast. I'm able to upload this if you wish to have it, but the main thing for you to do is write down the scripture. Now, murder is covered in Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. It lets you know that murder is a death penalty. Murder is under the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. All kills don't cover, have death penalties, but murder does. That means you plotted, planned, premeditated. Death penalty. Kidnapping, Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. That's under the eighth commandment. And I'll get to you on that later. Homosexuality. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. That's under the seventh commandment. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, covers all sexual sins, including bestiality. That's in Exodus 22, 19. That's in the seventh commandment. For those of you who don't know what that means, that's having sex with the lower animals. Dogs and cats and or whatever. Adultery, which is the seventh commandment, the higher form, adultery carries a death penalty. And you'll find where it tells you that it carries a death penalty in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. Rape, also a part of the seventh commandment, is in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 25 and 26. Prostitution, Deuteronomy 22:24. That's also the seventh commandment. Being a false prophet, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. You're breaking so many laws by being a false prophet, or either you can call it a false teacher. If you curseth your father and mother, that's the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. Well, this precept deals with cursing. I'm not talking about cussing them out or saying profane words, which you know you're not supposed to do. But when you curse someone, you wish harm upon them. It's against the law for you to curse your mother and father. It's a death penalty. But for anyone else that you curse, the curse comes back on you. Remember that. I'll cover that a little bit later. Last but not least, witchcraft. Exodus chapter 22, verse 18. Now, these are the main death penalty laws that I will be covering and reiterating and encouraging you to repent. Because if you do not repent these sins and cover whatever related sins that's associated with them, which I'll be teaching you how to do. When you get to the court of divine judgment, if you haven't repented these things, you will receive the death penalty. Okay, that means you go to the lake of fire. Now, how to cover your sins? First, you have to understand the laws, the commandments. As I said earlier, the Ten Commandments are first stated in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Love and forgiveness will cover all of your sins. But we do not know how to love according to Jesus. Jesus brought love because it was intended for you not to break. Any of the Ten Commandments. The Tenth Commandment, before Jesus came with the love commandment, the highest commandment of it all, that's what he said, the love commandment. The Tenth Commandment was intended to prevent you from breaking commandments 1 through 9. But because we don't understand how the commandments work, we tend to break them. The 10th commandment deals with your thoughts and your emotions. The 9th commandment deals with what comes out of your mouth, whether good or bad. Once you get a thought, if it's an evil thought, what comes out of your mouth is going to be evil. And from that point on is where you start breaking all of the other commandments. Now, once I go through the commandments, I'll explain them and make it a little more clear to you. But just keep in mind, guard your thoughts, because your sins begin with your thoughts. It's a sin to think about breaking a commandment. So God knows your thoughts, so he got you at your thoughts. As I said, man-made laws, you're only concerned about being caught. But under God's laws, you caught at the thoughts. So when you're repenting your sins, you have to cover your thoughts and every action that you have taken. I'll get deeper into that as I go along in this series on how to prepare yourself for the court of divine judgment. You're going to have to be prepared, because when you leave your flesh body, your spirit returns to the Father. And based on your position right here on earth is where you will be in paradise, awaiting for your court of divine judgment. Now, for those of you that believe in the rapture, I will have something to talk to you about. But my personal feelings about that, and I'll elaborate later, is that you don't have your armor on and that you're not fighting the good fight of faith till your death. And that's what you're supposed to do. You were told to do so, and that if you did fight that good fight of faith, you were definitely going to have some enemies right here before the end of time. You will have them right here, right now, attacking you. Now, I suggest the next last Saturday of each month is going to be Bible study. So I suggest you do your studies. Your homework is to read, you know, the Ten Commandments, which are in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. If you've written down any or had chance to write down any of the scripture that I gave you, read over that again. See if you're understanding. This is the Bible study hour. You need to have your Bible next to you if you're going to participate in the Bible studies. I guess I'll close now. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do. Until we meet again, I love you.